Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the quiet talk? Go down on the biz and uplift the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. So crying on with the certified thoughtful. Have to give a piece to the feet, it's time to call blow. The raspberry wind is flavor, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the flash you need. That'll leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive or motivational track to see successful guests promoting self-mastering. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Lou, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome to The Remix. I want to welcome everyone for joining me here live in the forum tonight. Peace and greetings to everyone out there. So good to have you guys in the house tonight. It is Sunday night, and of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome. And I also want to give out the call number for everyone out there listening. So if you want to come on over and join us on the phone lines, you are more than welcome to do that. And to get to the phone lines, all you have to do is call 646-652-2711. That's the number to call. It's going to get you locked in to The Remix. And you'll be right here where it's going down, where the action is happening at. It is Sunday night, August the 4th, 2013. And, of course, you're live in The Remix. Now, if you want to come on over, the chat room is open. And I definitely would like to invite you to come and join us in chat tonight. And to get over to the chat room, all you have to do, www.blogtalkradio.com/, The Remix. It's how you're going to get in the chat room. And you can come on over. The Remix family is in the house, and they definitely will make you feel very welcome and at home in the chat room. If you've never joined the chat and this is your very first time joining us here live in The Remix, I want to say welcome to you. If you're a guest and you're in the form, all you have to do is look right down below, click the link that says sign up, and in less than 5 minutes, you can be signed up and signed in and chatting with the Remix family in the chat room. So peace and greetings to you guys out there. We have another amazing share for you. For those of you who was not in the house on Friday night, or you were in the house, don't forget to go back and download Friday night's show. Brother Bilal from Bilal The Experience was here, and we were talking about the 24 scientists, technology for the gods. An amazing share that was there. Always an amazing share when Brother Bilal comes on. So you definitely want to go back and download. Now you can download that show as well as the show for tonight or any of the other Remix shows by coming on over to the Remix radio page. Coming over here, and you can download, you can go through the archives. It's years of information that is there that's going to take you from this century and beyond into any subject, any area, anything you want to hear. It's going to be there for you in the Remix download. You can also go over to iTunes, and you can download it to any of your iTunes devices and listen. You can listen on the computer. You can download to an MP3 player. You can so many different ways that you can keep yourself connected and tapped in and download. Oh, wow, you guys. It's so good. Joining us in the forum tonight, we have our brother Yasir Oral Hotep is going to be joining us, and we got a lot of things to talk about. Something that's kind of been high on the radar, and that is fear. So we're going to be talking about fear tonight and really those factors about fear as our brother Yasir comes on and really kind of give you some of those practical tools that you can begin to do to rid yourself and live life without fear and get yourself on that journey. So if there's anyone you know or yourself that is dealing with some sort of fear in your life, you definitely want to tune in tonight because we got some stuff for you tonight when it comes to fear. So peace and greetings to everyone out there. I want to do a couple of updates as we get ready to get into the share. We're going to dance a little bit, listen to a little bit of music, and then we're going to get right into the share because we got a lot of things to cover. I want to remind you guys that the action is also going on over on Facebook. If you go to the Remix Radio page there and click the like button, I'm going to be over there. Esther's in the house tonight. Of course, you know the other hosts here on the Remix. And all of you magic makers as well. So keep the conversation going. Jump on over to the Remix Family page, Remix Radio page over on Facebook. Click like. That's going to get you right in, and we're going to have the discussion there. I see some discussion is going on Twitter and other places around the cosmos as well as we get into the story tonight. I want you guys to think about that. Think about what area of your life that you're dealing with some fear. There'll be some Q&As where we'll be able to have some one-on-one discussions with Brother Yasir later in the show, and we can begin to talk about some of these areas of your life where you may be harboring some fear or just have a little bit of fear factor going on with you. It's going to be a great share tonight. I got some updated news for you guys for Brother Bobby Hemmett. I was able this weekend to speak with his Queen Linda, and what an amazing thing. Brother Bobby Hemmett is at home. He's back in his sacred space as he continues his healing journey and just to be on his path. And I was able to speak with Queen Linda and Brother Bobby, and just she sends her love out to each and every one of you guys. And thank you for the support, the continuous support, and more updates as they go. So just really, really good to hear that. It was so good just to connect with her energy as well as Brother Bobby's, and just sending love out to them as well. And she sends her love and Brother Bobby back to you guys as well, too. And she thanks you and continuously thank you for all of your support and love, her and Brother Bobby giving that thanks to you. So just wanted to share that with you guys, the Remix Family Pay family, and just share that love with you guys. Also, you know, a lot of things going on in the Remix world. We had the first self-investment meet and greet. And that was amazing. You know, classes are going to be getting kicked off here soon. And so we were able to connect with brothers and sisters from around the world and really just talk about some of the things that we're going to be doing in the meet and greet. And I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited about connecting with all of you guys. You're so amazing, and it's just been a pleasure. Also, we had a chance, for those of you who didn't hear the show, to know that we also had a chance this weekend. I connected with the sisters, and I connected with all the sisters going through the modern-day priesthood. Amazing sisters from around the world. Another beautiful share, and you'll be hearing about that as well. And so just a lot of great things going on. You guys want to definitely keep yourself connected. It is the weekend or the beginning of the week, depending on how you say that. And a lot of things going on. You know, Ramadan is going on. So we want to send love and Ramadan and Karem out to all of our brothers and sisters celebrating that particular time, our Remix family from around the world. We're going to get some international shots out. We're going to get ready to get right into the share and just keep things going. If you're an international listener and you're out there listening and you want to call in, all you have to do is dial the U.S. country code and then dial 646-652-2711. That's going to get you locked into the Remix. You can also Skype in as well. You can Skype into the show. That's another way. Or you can come on over to www.blogtalkradio.com/all one word, the Remix, and come on in. We would love to see you in the house. So peace and love to the whole Remix family out there. Let's go ahead and get ready to give some international shout-out. I want to give some birthday shout-out because there's some very special people close in my life that has some birthdays going on. So I want to give some big birthday shout-out to everyone celebrating a birthday this month, the month of August. And during this particular time, as you guys know, our chief and commander, President Obama, is celebrating a birthday. So love and kisses to him and his family out there celebrating his birthday. Also, baby Nai-Nai, for those of you who have the Kim deck and you know the card with Sister Munya, the little baby on the back, that's baby Nai-Nai. It is her birthday. I was talking to baby Nai-Nai yesterday, and I was trying to see if she would do a little talk with me today. And I said, I said, you want to say say know your magic? And she said to me, I know my magic. I said, you know your magic? She said, I know my magic. So even the babies out there know their magic, which is living life with a purpose. For those of you who have the Kim deck, which is card number 29, with Sister Munya, that's baby Nai-Nai on her back right there. So my goddaughter. So kisses to baby Nai-Nai out there. She was just enjoying her birthday. And she was in, okay. She was enjoying her birthday and just loving it so much, you know. And then we have our little ones who are about to go back to school and our older ones too. Getting ready to continue embarking on their journey as they get ready to go back to school and get back into some left brain, right brain knowledge out there. So, and even for some of us big magic makers who are still embarking on our journey, our personal journey. So it's about that time, you guys. We're heading into the month of August. And so it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time. Let's get some international shots out going out there to everyone out there listening. And so the first, we want to give big shots out to Canada, everyone listening from Canada out there. And these are brothers and sisters in all of these countries who are listening live to the show right now. So Canada is in the house. The UK is in the house. Big up. Germany in the house. Amsterdam is in the house. Jamaica is listening. Australia is in the house. We have the Netherlands in the house. Trinidad is in the house. Indonesia is listening. We have Barbados in the house. We have South Africa listening. Turkey is live with us in the house tonight. We have Saudi Arabia, India, Egypt is live with us in the house tonight. We have France listening. We have Brazil, Poland, Belgium. Belize is listening from in the house tonight, as well as Japan is listening with us. So we just have in a couple of other countries, let's see, Lithuania is listening. It's a couple of other countries that I'm not even going to try to twist your name up. But I want to say welcome to all of you out there from around the world, as well as those of us who are here in the United States listening live to the Remix, as we always do on Friday and Sunday night. Peace and greetings and welcome to you all. We're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue. And as we're doing that, after we listen to a little bit of Baby Blue, we're going to get ready to get right into the share so that we can bring on our brother who's going to be speaking with us tonight, Brother Yasir Rahotep. He is certainly no stranger to the Remix family. He definitely has been here many, many times before. He's going to be speaking about living without fear. Now, Siva Yasir is a master yoga instructor, and he's also the creator of Yoga Skills. The Yoga Skills Method, and you can definitely go and check out his website at www.yogaskillswithans.com. You can find out how you can get yourself involved into this kinetic yoga practice that he's been practicing and teaching for over 30 years. In fact, many of you are teachers, and Siva Yasir is your personal teacher. I have met with you guys in sessions, and you guys on the Remix who've been on some of the retreats, and also work with Brother Yusir. So you want to go to the website. You want to check him out. He's also on Facebook as well, too. You want to get connected as we get ready to get into the share. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue. I want you guys, when we really get ready to get into the song, to start thinking about maybe there's some questions you have. Maybe there's some fear factors that you want to address. You want to know how to finally live without fear and get over this thing that could possibly be holding you back. So we'll be right back, and we're going to get into the share.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right. And also, just so you guys know, Brother Yusir is in the chat room. So it's a great way to be up close and personal, masterminds of higher consciousness. Hotep, Brother Yusir. He's in the chat room tonight. So it's a great way to keep the dialogue going and keep the conversation going as we get into the share. So we're going to listen to some music here. And then we're going to bring Brother Yusir on. And tonight, we're going to be talking about living without fear. And what does that mean? What are some of the practices we can begin to start to incorporate into that? So here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. I stare at my reflection in the mirror. Why am I doing this to myself? Losing my mind on a tiny error. I nearly left the real me on the shelf. Truth.
Joining us in the forum tonight. I know you're in the chat room as well, and everyone is sending hearts out to you as well. Well, you know, without further ado, I do want us to start talking about living without fear. And if you can begin to start talking to us from your approach and just about your studies in your work when it deals with just dealing with energy, dealing with comedic yoga, dealing with yoga skills methods when it comes to fear. But I think at first we should start from the beginning and talk about what is fear.
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to start from, giving some background information, as you say. And basically, fear is something that is at the foundation of how our whole reality in this culture and in this society and in this particular age that we're living in is actually shaped.
Mm.
So this whole system, the matrix that we live under, is based upon fear. It's a system of control. And so fear is a method that is used to control people because fear is a primordial emotion that we have, which is elicited from any sense of insecurity or any sense of threat. So when we feel that our well-being is threatened, either immediately, you know, or in the long term, we have this experience or this emotional response, which has a physiological component to it in terms of, you know, that it's something that happens within our bodies. So when we have those sensations in our body, that's what actually gives us the idea that we have fear. And so we live in a society where the whole way that we're motivated to move and to act and to feel and to believe and to spend our money and to whatever actions or activities that we do is all based upon the culture stimulating ideas of fear within us.
Interesting.
And so that motivates us to do the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So when they want us to spend some money, they say, okay, you know, we're gonna make you feel fear for something. So they want you to buy some deodorant, right? They put a commercial on TV that says if you have if you raise up your arm in a meeting and somebody sees a wet spot
right.
underneath your arm, that it's going to mess up your career.
So, right.
You know, so everything is about fear. You know, they say, oh, if they put a model on a cover of a magazine and you don't look like that model, this model is 5'10" and weighs 105 pounds. Nobody looks like that, you know. And plus she's airbrushed and so on and so forth. So subconsciously it elicits the feeling of fear in you that's gonna motivate you to say, well, let me go and buy this diet stuff or let me go to the buy something that's going to make me look like this person, which is impossible for me to look like in the first place, you know?
Right. So has it always been that way? Let's talk about some of the ancient aspects when it comes to fear and understanding fear.
Well, you know, we live in an age of Kali Yuga, right? So if you think about Kali Yuga and the different ages of humanity that we go through, I would say for at least the last 5,000 years, the cultures that have evolved on this planet have been using fear, you know. So even, you know, so religion is fear. So you got 10 commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And if you do these different things, you're going to, when you die, you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn up forever, you know.
Right.
So when they tell you that it's a way of social sanction, it's a way of social control, but it's used in psychology, you know, and it's used.
Right.
But see, the psychology interacts with your physiology. Because
yes.
How do you know that you have fear? Because you feel something inside your body. You have a physiological response. You know, if you didn't have, you know, like if you was walking through the forest and you saw a wolf and, you know, somebody who doesn't have fear, you know, like they might run up to that wolf and try to pet it. Oh, that wolf looks nice. Let me go pet it. But most of them, it's going to elicit a feeling within their body that tells them that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going to try to run away or they're going to try to, you know, do something to get away from it. They're not going to just go up to it. You know, and so fear, it really has a function of survival that helps you to survive. But at the same time, you know, when it's used by society, and it's when it's used by the culture, and by society and culture, I mean like, it's, you know, religion, the government, the educational system, so on and so forth, then it's used as a means of social control.
Mm.
And so we are living our lives when we live our life without thinking, when we live our life without being conscious, you know, without really being aware and without engaging in self cultivation, we are we are simply acting out whatever the script is that those who control the system of ideas that are being fed into us that shape our consciousness, we are simply, reacting to what they want us to react to.
Right.
And so the whole system, the purpose of the system that we live under is to extract, to extract certain behaviors and also, that leads us into consuming a certain way. So, you're not gonna have a nice party unless you have pizza. You're not gonna have a nice party, or you're not gonna have a good time unless you have Budweiser, at your
mm-hmm.
party, or unless you have, if you're black, you gotta have some malt liquor and some Cavassier or something, going to come to your party unless you have that. So that essentially is fear.
Right.
If you don't use this cream on your skin, you're going to have pimples and anybody going to like you.
Right.
All of that
is fear-based. So the concept of fear and survival, is that the only thing that fear drives? Is that the only thing fear is for?
Well, it's an emotion, and see, emotions can be positive or negative, because, as you say, it's for survival. So when it's dealt with, or when you use it in the proper way, and when it's in balance, then it's a survival. It's part of your survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
But we are overfeared, like I do trips to Egypt, I do trips to Jamaica, different parts of the world, and people say, oh, well, I'm scared to go there because I saw something on TV and it makes me fearful. Well, I heard that there was a drug lord in Jamaica and they looking for me.
They're looking for you.
So we act out all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, before we get to that, because it's just so much with fear, because like you said, this has been a driving force for civilization for so long. Where does fear come from?
Well, it is a natural part of our makeup, but it originates from a feeling. And part of it is conditioning, right? So,
mm-hmm.
say for example, and you have different sources of this conditioning that makes you identify or associate something that you are experiencing with something that makes you feel that experience is threatening to you, and that elicits the sensation in your body. That's how you know you have fear. So it's conditioning. And so we have conditioning. So most of what I've been talking about is the social conditioning.
Right.
But you also have personal conditioning. So say the way that you were raised as a child, say you had certain experiences, or your parents or your sisters or brothers or your relatives told you certain things. So you may be afraid of cats. You may be afraid of dogs. You may be afraid to fly. You know, there's so many different things that you could become afraid of, and some of those fears can be reasonable, but some of them can be unreasonable. Just like people who may be afraid to fly, so they have anxiety when it comes to flying, you know. So this is something that's conditioned. I was watching TV when I was a child. I saw an airplane crash and all the people got killed. Therefore, I'll never get on the airplane. Or I saw the airplanes crash into the buildings on 9/11.
Right.
I'm scared to fly on an airplane now because that image has been imprinted on my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are very sensitive, and so by us being sensitive, then it's easy for those images to imprint on our consciousness and to make their mark. So they create a vibrational signature that is becomes part of our subconscious, and that subconscious thought and energy, it interacts with the physiology of the body. But so that whenever we see something that's associated with that thought, it elicits that biochemical effect, and then we say, "Oh, I'm afraid."
Mm-hmm. So would you say, based upon your works and your studies, Brother Yasir, that we're born with fear?
Well, fear is biological, yes. We have a mechanism within us that allows us to have fear because it helps to protect us, right? But it's the imbalance of that which is the problem. So, yeah, we are, to me, from a, just looking at it from a biological perspective, we are born with the capacity to have fear. We're born with the capacity to be fearful of something, but to be, according to neuroscientists, right?
Yes.
There are certain archetypical things that human beings in general are afraid of. Like, say, human beings in general are afraid of snakes because that's sort of been imprinted on human consciousness as a way, because snakes universally are looked upon as being different. They look upon as being venomous. They can kill you, so on and so forth. So that's been so that sort of has become almost a universal trait among people, that there is a fear of snakes. There's a fear of heights. There's a fear of, of certain things, which are almost like universal. But we learn unreasonable fears as we grow up, because again, these things are being imprinted upon us by our social conditioning and by our interaction with our family and other sources, within our environment, that's going to give us that sense of fear, So, like I said, you could be afraid of cars, you could be afraid of crossing the street. I remember when I was 6 years old, I was coming home from school. I was coming home from school for the first time by myself, and they had like the island when you cross the street.
Yes.
Island thing right in the middle. And I got stuck there because I was afraid. I didn't really know what I was doing. I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. So I sort of got stuck there for like an hour just about when I should go across the rest of the street, like halfway through, and I was stuck in the middle, And that's an unreasonable type of fear, but it was based upon uncertainty. So I wasn't born being afraid to cross the street. That was something that some experience I had made me, have that fear, plus seeing cars going past, living past, on and so forth. So people, so I would say that people are born with the capacity for fear, but we develop unreasonable fears out of proportion to what they really should be based upon our social conditioning.
Interesting. Yes. So, and lots of discussion going on in the chat room. I know you see it as well, too.
Yeah, I see it. Fear is a protective mechanism. That's in my DNA. But what I'm going to say, I say this about DNA, though, is that DNA is not determinative. DNA is actually something that is programmed. Our consciousness programs our DNA.
Yes, I would agree. Yes,
yeah.
I agree with that as well, too. Here's the other thing. When it comes to fear, and this is something we spoke a little bit offline about, but I want you to kind of speak about this. Is it the same when you're sort of kind of giving out some of your practices for fear and overcoming some of these different aspects of fear? Is it the same for women, men, and children? Would you treat them all the same?
Well, in terms of the actual practices, I would say pretty much yes. You know, in a child, you know, you would have to modify things because the child is not going to have the same capacity or the same level of understanding or ability as an adult. So, you know, so you may see
some of them got higher understanding. No, I'm just joking. But they do.
Children in general, they do, you know, but it's still different, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that, for their age-appropriate,
So it's an age-appropriate approach. But my approach is pretty much addressing it from the physiological, because to me, you know, we know that we have an energy body, we have a physical body,
yes,
and so forth, you know, but we got to look at, okay, how are we going to approach this? So are we going to approach this purely on an energetic level, or are we going to approach it on the physiological level, the biochemical level? And I sort of take a multifaceted approach. So that's essentially what yoga does, right? Because say when you work with your breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your breath has, you know, breathing, respiration, it has a physiological,
yes.
I mean, first of all, it's physical. It's a mechanical process, pulling
mm-hmm.
into the lungs, using the diaphragms, making the lungs expand, making the lungs contract, pulling in oxygen coming to the lungs,
yes,
circulates to your body, you know, into the bloodstream from the lungs, so on and so forth. So that's a mechanical process. But there's also a physiological process in the sense that when you start to do this controlled deep breathing, you start to activate a part of the nervous system called the parasympathetic.
Yes.
In turn, it's going to lower those stress hormones. And so when you have fear, you're going to have an elevation of adrenaline and cortisol and those different hormones which are associated with stress. So then when you do controlled deep breathing, you actually start to eliminate those. So you don't even have to look at what is the source of my stress.
Right.
You don't even have to analyze, is this stress logical or rational? Sometimes all you have to do is just get the person to perform the practices. And so that dials back their level of arousal. So that way you're real sensitive and you're very aroused. You're very, hyped up. You know, so when you do the breathing, it makes you less hyped up. It makes you less aroused. And so then as you continue to practice that, when you encounter the thought or the event or the person or the thing, whatever it is that you associate with this feeling of fear, your physiology is dialed back and it doesn't affect you as much, or it may not affect you at all. So you're reprogramming. See, the society and the different other forces of ideation, they program us to have fear. And so once you get programmed, the only way you have to deprogram it and reprogram yourself with a different type of circuitry.
Right, right.
So you just change it.
Right. So let me ask you, Brother Yasir, how long have you been studying fear?
Well, I've probably been studying fear since I was a little boy. I tell you, the first book I read that I can remember reading, like a book that wasn't a school book, I got this book called The Rise and Fall of Adolf Hitler.
I heard of that.
Yeah. By William L. Shirer. And I must have been maybe in fourth grade or something, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I was always fascinated. What was fascinating to me was how can a person control a whole mass of people and to and get them to do what you want them to do. And of course, he employed a whole bunch of different methodologies.
Yes.
But fear, you know, and it wasn't like he threatened people to make them conform, but he used the idea of, you know, you are this, we have all these different things that we really are, that we're the master race of people, that, you know, he instilled pride and all that kind of stuff. But it was the fear of losing that. It was the fear of being defeated by your enemies. It was the fear of those conspiracies. The same thing that goes on now. The American embassies in 21 countries are being closed down this weekend because there's fear of the Al-Qaeda attacking.
Yeah, attacking.
You know?
So what was your trigger to study fear? You said you started in fourth grade. So what was the trigger? What was your trigger?
It was simply the way my mind worked, you know. I was, you know, my mind is like, ever since I can remember, my mind has always been just curious. And I look at fear as being, you know, the significance of it is that, to me, fear is the motivating force that shapes human behavior, especially in the context of the culture that we live in now.
So, can you give an example of that? And then I want to ask you this, because I think this will tie right in. What is the common link with everyone you've encountered when it comes to being in fear? What's the common link they have?
The common link is this, that they don't have an integrated way of looking at themselves and viewing themselves in relationship to the rest of the, you know, to the rest of the world, and so to the rest of the environment, and so they have unreasonable fear. So you ask for example. The example is like most like silent things I was talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Religion uses fear. You know, we have fear of failure. Ads and commercials, the media uses fear to get you to buy things. You know, you're not going to, you know, like I was saying about if you have the underarm odor, you have the stain under your arm, or if you have bad breath, you know, it's just a constant litany of different fear-inducing images that we receive, you know, that's motivate, and the whole purpose of that is to motivate you. That's why you have neuroscientists working for advertising companies.
Yes,
you know?
So true. So does studying fear take you out of fear, or does it push you further in it? What would you say?
Well, it shouldn't push you further into it. It should give you an understanding. And if you're going to see, for me to study fear is that you need to study it from a scientific perspective. You need to study it from and also from a metaphysical and a spiritual perspective, right? Because so I look at it from scientifically. So scientifically is looking at the physiology, looking at the biochemistry of it. And so we have to arm ourselves with that understanding. And then we have to understand it. You know, the connection between the physiology and the behavior.
Right.
Because fear, the way that fear works is that it's supposed to make you act or behave in a certain manner.
Mm-hmm.
And the manner that it makes you act or behave is what those who control the society, those who have the vested interest of moving us in certain directions and making us feel certain things about ourselves and about the world around us and about others.
Right.
It's to help them profit.
Mm-hmm. So, great. That's really, really great and interesting. Let me ask you, do you have any fears?
I'm sure I do have fears. You know, the issue is how do you manage and how do you differentiate a legitimate fear versus an illegitimate fear? So, like, the model that I go by is Live Without Fear. That's what I got written on my Facebook. I might even write a book called Live Without Fear. But you know, fear is, you know, so I have fear, of course, I mean, I was, one of my fears is fear of heights, right? So, but I go mountain climbing, right? I go hiking up top of something and stand up on top of something, and I'm afraid because I have this fear. But my determination is that I'm not going to let my fear limit me, because I enjoy going places. I enjoy hiking. I went up a mountain in Africa that was over 15,000 feet high. It took 3 days to go up to get up to the top of the mountain, right? In Tanzania.
Yes, in Tanzania.
And I was afraid at certain points in time, but I went up it anyway, you know.
So I know when you said doing the work should take you out of fear, why haven't your work taken you completely out of your fear? Do we ever get out of fear?
Everybody's going to be afraid of something. I mean, if you wasn't afraid of anything, you'd be dead. Because you would just walk out into the middle of the street when you see the cars.
Is that fear, though, or is that just common sense?
Oh, common sense is not common. If you look at it from a neuroscience perspective, right?
There
is a reason for you to have fear. It's something that you're supposed to have.
And also,
each person is wired differently.
Of course,
My kids can go on a roller coaster. They'll put their hands up. They go down. My kids would go bungee jumping. They'll go jump off a bridge with a bungee cord and go up and down and beyond. If I went to the amusement park and they put me on the teacups, I would be dizzy and throwing up and stuff, right? Motion, all of that moving and falling, my body doesn't like that. So my physiology is not anything that I'm afraid, like, because something bad happened to me, now I'm afraid of it. It's just the way I'm wired. Some people are adrenaline junkies, right?
Yes, that's true.
So they seek out things that give them adrenaline rushes. So they like to jump off stuff. They like to go and do dangerous things. They want to go jump out of an airplane with a parachute and stuff like that. See, I don't want to do none of that stuff, right? I might do it.
Right.
Just to make bikes, but I ain't going to have fun. I'm just going to do it just to say, well, I did it.
Right.
You know, I went up in a hot air balloon, and at first I was okay, but after a while I was like, I'm up in this hot air balloon, and I'm the only black person up here, and I'm going to be the first one they're going to throw over the
jump you out of there. So I guess living without fear isn't real. If we're supposed to have it, you can't live without fear.
You can live without fear dominating you. You can live without fear causing you to do things unconsciously. That's what the point is. You know, it's the balance, you know, because if I'm walking through the forest and I see a big bear, I'm going to be afraid. If I go to Africa and I climb up Mount Meru and I see a water buffalo on the path, I'm going to be afraid because I need to be afraid. And that fear may make me run fast, it may make me think fast. You know, fear is motivating. That's why those who manipulate society can use fear, because it can move you behaviorally in a certain manner. So there are times when fear is necessary, but I would say 99% of the time when we have fear, it's unnecessary. That's what the point is.
Mm-hmm. So you know, it really isn't to live without fear, because we're not going to get out of fear, but it is about how to really survive with fear.
It's like to live without fear on a day, you know, your everyday daily life should not be based upon fear. That's, you know, that's what live without fear means. It doesn't mean that if you're walking down the street and a big Doberman Pinscher starts coming to bite you, that you shouldn't be scared. That's not living without fear. That's just you know, that's lack of a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But living without fear, you know, everything is balanced. You know, nothing is absolute. So when you say live without fear, you can say that and mean it, but it doesn't mean that, you know, but you can't take it out. But it's got to be within the context of not letting your life, what it means, do not let your life be dominated by fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid of, you know, some people are afraid of success. Like, maybe that's what you're getting. Some people are afraid of, you know, I'm not afraid of success.
Right.
You know, I seek success. You know, I'm not afraid to fail. Those are the type of fears that you have to live without. Fear of success and fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
I might try something 100 times, and if I fail 100 times, I don't care, because the 101st time, I'm going to be successful.
Right. So you have a healthy fear.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have healthy fear in the sense of being afraid of those things which I should be afraid of. But I'm not afraid of, you know, the things, you know, you don't want to have fears that hold you back from your success in your life and having what you're supposed to have. So some people have a negative experience in relationship, right?
Right.
So therefore they carry that negative energy into their future relationships, and they anticipate when they go into the next relationship, they anticipate that the same thing is going to happen, and so they act inappropriately, or they act in such a way that creates that negative situation, and makes it become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that's the way that fear is. That's how fear interacts with us in a negative way, in an inappropriate way, and holds us back. You know, because if I have a bad relationship, and Lord knows I've had my share.
not alone.
You know, but I'm not going to judge the next person by what that other person did, and maybe that's why, you know, maybe that's a mistake. I don't know. You know, I'm just joking. But you can't really do that. You can't, you know, if you're going to judge everybody by what somebody else did, then therefore you're not going to ever get past that.
So
that's what fear means. It doesn't mean that. Fear doesn't exist in you, because it does, but it's like you're not allowing the fear to determine your personality. You're not allowing it to determine your relationships. You're not allowing it to determine your actions and your behavior. That's what the point is.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. How close is what we fear to losing? How close is that together?
To losing?
Mm-hmm.
You could be afraid of losing something, if that's what you mean. You know, when you're afraid of, being afraid of losing something should not be a motivating factor, because you should do what you want to do, what you need to do, without being afraid that you're not going to have something.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people limit themselves because, you know, just like some people are risk takers, right?
Right.
Some people would say, I'm gonna take this $1,000, I'm gonna invest it in this, and this is a high risk. Just like when you do stocks and stuff, right? You have low risk investments, you have moderate risk investments,
and high
risk, right? Yeah. And so it depends upon what your nervous system can stand. If you could stand the uncertainty of the possibility that you may lose all your money, you go to a high, risk, because then you're going to get more money in return. But if you can't take that feeling, then you're going to go down to the low risk, and you're going to get less money in return if you do the low risk, but it's more safe. The possibility of you losing your money is going to be less. So those are determinations that you have to make, based upon how you feel about yourself.
Right. I really want everyone out there who may be in some sort of fear to really get this. So for people who are in fear, or for those who are in fear right now, with all of your studies since the fourth grade, what is the bottom line?
The bottom line is that we have to, this is almost like the bottom line of everything, is that you have to incorporate self-development practices within your life that gives you the ability to control your life force. Number one, to control your physiology. Number two, to control your life force. Number three, to control your thoughts. Number four, to control your emotions. Number five, to control your energy, and to create, what it is that you want to create.
Right.
So unless you have practices which are powerful, not just some old stuff somebody made up.
Right.
Practices which are powerful enough to actually affect your internal self, that would then allow you to manipulate the external world around you. You have to have powerful practices. All practices, some people get mad at me when I say that all practices are not the same. If you're doing this mediocre yoga stuff over here, or you're doing this mediocre yoga stuff over there,
right,
it's not the same.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be egotistical or nothing, but I know that, through my years of experience, I know that when I teach yoga, this yoga right here, it's not the same as this yoga these other people I teach.
Right. Beautiful.
So it's gonna have a much more powerful effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I call it state of the art. Because it's based upon certain principles. Because it's just like commercial. It's just like if you go and buy a Lexus, right? Or as opposed to buying a Ford or something, it's a different quality, and you can scientifically see the difference.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So let me ask you, what is your philosophy?
Live without fear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my philosophy. Do not let fear control you. Do not let sense of uncertainty. Because to me, what's the worst thing that could happen to you, right? The worst thing that could happen to me is that I can die.
Live without fear that we can't get rid of. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Live without fear.
I don't even want to qualify it. I just say live without fear. Like somebody just posted, I have a fear of not being loved or not being loved, I guess. And it's like those are fears which can be overcome. So you have a fear of not being loved. You can overcome that fear.
Right.
Because it's kind of unreasonable. It's not. We have to think in terms of what's functional and what's dysfunctional. It's not necessarily if it's good or bad. It's what purpose does it serve in your life.
Yes. Yes, I would agree. So it's safe to say that if we think about fear all day, we're in it. If you constantly are thinking about fear, is it safe to say you're in fear?
Yeah, you shouldn't be in fear all day. You fear is, like I say, fear is what you use when it's an emergency, basically. I want to have fear. I want to have fear in an emergency. Do you know that when you are in an emergency and you get that fear or that stress response, that you activate a center in your brain that allows you to perceive what's going on around you in slow motion?
Yes.
So you're able to. So that is a survival mechanism that allows you to think faster, analyze faster, and then to react and respond faster.
Yes.
And so that's why a lot of times people say they had an accident or they this happened or that happened, and it seemed like it was in slow motion. That is a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And so fear itself is not bad. It's the out of balance fear. I have a fear of not being loved. I have a fear of losing everything, you know. And you know, like great actors, right? They have stage fright. They have a fear of bombing out on the stage. So what does that do? It motivates them to work hard, to study, to prepare harder. So fear can be a positive motivator.
Yeah, it sounds
something that's debilitating.
Right, it sounds like a circle jerk. It's like you need fear, but you don't need fear. You need fear, but you gotta have fear, but you can't have fear. You gotta know which fear is good fear and which fear is not fear.
Well, yeah, I mean. Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on what the function of it is. If it's dysfunctional in your life, then it's not good. If it's debilitating,
right?
You look at what's functioning, what's not functioning. You don't want to be debilitated. You want to be actualized. You want to be empowered by it. And so you don't want to consciously say, I'm going to be afraid of something, you know. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have a slight amount of fear of failure, and then that motivates you to work harder, I would say that's good. But
What if you think that the government, which they do, they have a way to get into your Android devices and cut your phone on, and you know that, is that good?
I don't care.
I don't care either, but I'm saying the reason I say that, because some people believe that some of these fears are helping them. So is that okay? You understand, it doesn't seem like there's a way to judge how that's going to be, because there's so many fear factors out there. I mean, there was a television show that was a number one hit based on fear.
Which one was that?
Fear Factor.
Fear Factor, okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of shows on TV that's based upon fear.
Yeah, but that was specifically for Fear Factor, things for fear. And I just say that in that way because you said if it's motivating you, some people are motivated by fear and they act it out in so many different ways. So,
yeah, but when they act it out in a way that becomes dysfunctional. When it gets
to
out
who?
Of balance.
But that's what I'm saying. To who?
When it becomes dysfunctional to themselves. When they become destructive, just like a person can drink alcohol, a person can smoke weed, a person can use cocaine or use heroin and still be able to function.
So
and
it's
then,
okay. It's okay to do it.
It's okay to do it if it's not
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So it's okay to be a heroin addict as long as you can. I didn't say
be an addict because when you're an addict. Then,
okay, well, not an addict, a functional addict, because that just means I can function.
It's not even a functional addict. If you're an addict, that's too far.
Okay, so.
This is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
A person can be.
user.
An occasional user of any type of intoxicant. It could be alcohol. It could be
crack. It could be crack.
Now, crack is when you start smoking crack, you almost automatically become addicted. It ain't like you could just use crack like recreationally or something. But you could take part of cocaine and snort it, and you don't have to necessarily. Just because you use a drug doesn't mean
that you
have to become addicted to it.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
No more than you become addicted to alcohol.
That's right.
I know people who are alcoholics, and they cannot drink one drop of alcohol.
That's true.
Other people, they can drink alcohol, and then they can take a drink today. They may not drink another. They don't get drunk. They just take a drink, and then they go about their way. They may not even want to have another drink for 6 months. Some people can be an alcoholic, and they only get drunk on Christmas, but they're alcoholic because when they get drunk on Christmas, they be drunk, and they cuss everybody out, and they mess up their whole life, but the only time they get drunk is on Christmas or on holidays. So it manifests in all kinds of different ways.
I understand. I'm clear now what you're saying. I'm clear. So let me ask you this. Can you see fear being a drug? Because some people are hooked on fear.
It is a drug. That's right. Because it goes to your brain just like any other drug. If I snort some cocaine or I take some heroin or I drink some coffee and drink some caffeine, it goes straight to certain centers
in
the brain and makes you high. That's why certain people like to jump off
buildings and do all of those. So,
like my kids, they like to get drunk off of adrenaline. That's what they like.
So,
my grandkids like that. I'm a junkie. I'd rather do something else for my high.
So fear is your philosophy?
Is it my philosophy? No.
Live without fear.
Live without dysfunctional fear. If you just want to, put it like that, dysfunctional fear.
Okay.
Live without dysfunctional fear. But I'm not going to change my motto. It's just going to always.
No. I don't want you to change it. Live without fear. And really, so we can get, this is one of those subjects I don't think we could talk enough about and that we do talk enough about, great discussion here. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about fear in the heart. Because that plays a very key role. And just share with everyone about fear and its connection to the heart.
Okay. Let's just look at the heart, number one. The heart, we can look at the heart from different perspectives, right? So in ancient Egypt, in ancient Kemet, they called the heart the Ab, A-B,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the heart, when they went inside a person, they would save the heart, and they would take some tweezers and dig up through the nostrils and tear the brain out and throw the brain away.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really have the same honor for the brain as they did for the heart. And the Egyptologists, they always thought that ancient Egyptians was just dumb, and so therefore they would throw the heart away. And so they would keep the heart because they thought the heart was the seat of the emotion. But neuroscience now and quantum physics now tells us the heart is the seat of our consciousness, right? Because the heart, we have an energy field around the heart that operates at a frequency which is faster than the brain. And so information registers in the heart faster than it registers in the brain. So say, for example, if you did see that, say you walk into the forest and you did see a lion, right?
Yes.
That information of analyzing what their lying is or the threat to you, you know, your man, you know, you go through all these different calculations. That information comes into the heart center first, and then it's transmitted to the brain so that the brain can then send the information to the rest of your body to tell your body how to respond, how to act, you know. So in order for you to fight, in order for you to run away or to do whatever you're going to do in response to that lion, you're going to have to raise your blood pressure to make you, you know, have more blood going into your limbs to make you run faster, so on and so forth, you know. So you have these different physiological responses.
Right.
But the entry point for the information comes through the heart, not to the brain.
Right.
So the old theory, see, I look, see, mm-hmm. back in 1848, that's when Western scientists started to study how does fear operate in you.
Yes.
And so the first thing that they said was that your eyes or your ears or, you know, your senses, you sense something, and then it sends the message from your senses to your brain, and then your brain sends messages to the rest of your body to tell your body what to do, okay? So that's what they call fight or flight. When you see something that you're afraid of, you're either going to fight it if you can, or you're going to run away to it in order to escape. That's your survival mechanism. But later on, they said, well, no, that's not really the case. That information, it registers in the brain on a subcortical level. It registers like in the deeper parts of the brain, and then it goes into other aspects of the brain where then the information is sent out to the other parts of the body. But now we're beyond that. Now we're saying that the heart center receives that information, and then it sends it to the brain to tell the brain what to do, and then the brain sends the information to the rest of the body. So the brain will activate your hormones and your blood pressure and all those different other physiological responses.
Right. So the heart knows fear.
The heart knows everything. See, fear is only a response. That's all fear is.
Yes.
Fear is simply it's not even a response. Fear is a perception.
So the heart knows the perception of fear.
You as a whole, and your heart is part of you, you perceive something,
mm-hmm.
and you calling it fear, or you calling it a threat. You're not using the word fear. You're simply calling
right.
it fear. Anything that you perceive as being a threat to your well-being is going to register in you as fear.
Okay, so you're walking, and the reason I say this is because you're walking in the jungle, you see the lion, it comes in your heart first, your heart is registering that as fear. Is that what you're saying? Your heart says that's fear.
No. It's how you programmed, which says that it's fear.
So if your heart is programmed to say it's fear, then you'll know it's fear. But maybe you work in a zoo and you're not scared.
You're not saying it's anything. All you're saying is that it's a. Only thing that you're doing, and when I'm saying you, I'm talking about your whole psycho emotional matrix. Your whole perceptive field, whatever that is, your senses, your energy field around you, you're receiving information.
Yes.
And you as a whole is interpreting it as whether or not this is a threat or not to your well-being.
Right.
And that's what we intellectually call fear.
Right,
But you are not. You know, your heart is not saying be afraid. You know that's not
what right. That's what I wanted to make sure. Yeah, your heart is not saying that. Yes, your heart doesn't say that. Yeah.
No, your heart doesn't say that, but the information that comes into you, into your being, and then is interpreted and processed. It's just like if I take my hard drive, if I take my my little disk drive and put it into my computer,
right?
The computer is going to take that information and it's going to analyze it and determine what it is and so on and so forth. So all you're doing is receiving information, but it's how you are programmed which is going to tell you whether you should feel afraid or not. And feeling afraid is simply going to be, you know, based upon, you know, what it is that you're programmed to understand. If you don't understand what a lion is, you're not going to be afraid of it. You know, just like certain animals, right?
Yeah.
They've never seen humans before. So they see a hunter pointing a gun at them. They don't think to run away. They ain't never seen a human with a gun. So until they get programmed by that experience, they don't know to run away.
Right.
You know, but they don't know they should be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess the reason I'll say that, here's one of the things when it comes to fear, and this is sort of based on my works and studies, and I know you touched on some of this too, is that there's many different points that we come with fear. Because that same feeling that you feel when you're experiencing fear, you know, like all of the physical things that you're experiencing, all of those things that get fired off in the brain and those things that are happening throughout the body and how the adrenaline is running, is the mm-hmm. same thing when you get excited. It's the same feeling. It's exactly mm-hmm. the same things that are going on. So the difference for me and how I understand this and see this is that you have to know the difference between are you experiencing fear, is this truly fear, or are you experiencing what they would call in the ancient Hebrew Bible or even looking at the Kemetics of being in awe. So when you're doing especially spiritual work and you're coming into that presence of the one, when you have truly connected with the divine and you have that awe moment, that is sort of a feeling of fear. Some of the same things, if from a neurological point of view, if they were to measure everything going on in your body, scientists may say this person is experiencing fear. But they're
right.
not. But that's not fear. I am in the presence of the one divine. I am in awe. And so for me, this is really, you know, when we start to talk about fear and understanding how fear is and how it does, it's a lot of different components. It's kind of like telling a story, you see. Science is in theory. They can only really kind of relate things in theory. They really don't understand because for them, if you can't produce the same result, then it's not considered science. When we start to talk about practices, which I know a lot of your kinetic yoga is based on those things of practices, even when they talk about when you go into the Duat and we look at some of the glyphs and they talk about when you come before the gods and your heart is measured and they're measuring it with a feather and you're in that presence, that's that awe. It's fear, but it's completely different. It's a whole nother experience that you're experiencing. It's when you become one, when you get into the presence of awe. And so sometimes fear means move forward. It's not, what I found, is not always negatively driven. It is sometimes
right.
those positive forces that come upon you when you're moving into something, it is to drive you forward. Some people identify it as a fear. But it really is just being in that presence of the divine. You know when you've made that divine connection. You know when it is there. You know when that energy, when you feel you're becoming one, when you really have got into that place, that means to move forward. And not
right.
for you to, it's not a fight or flight. Even though some of the same occurrences are happening within the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree that there are many similarities between fear and awe, as you call it, because one of the seven hermetic laws, or one of the seven laws of ancient Kemet that, that Wayne Chandler talks about is, I'm trying to think of it, remember the name. I don't want to say gender, but it's the one that deals with the idea that everything is a matter of degrees. Just like temperature, right? You could be hot or you could be cold, but the only difference between hot and cold is a matter of degrees. It's not a change in the actual quality of what it is.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
a matter of how much in one direction or another direction, you know. So you can be getting married. A person could be getting married, right, which is a very joyous thing, but they can get stressed out. Or they could be getting a divorce and they could get stressed out. Or the divorce may make them feel good because they're getting their weight off of them. You know, it can
mm-hmm.
be all kinds of different ways.
Right.
You know? So physiologically, there are similarities, but there are also differences physiologically.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's, you know, just like making love, for example, like having sex.
You know, you don't want to go there.
One of my favorite topics, right? But, you know, when you have sex, right, there are certain hormones which are secreted by your body, which are still associated with stress, but there are other hormones which are secreted, which are associated with pleasure.
Yes.
You know, when I don't know how old you are. I know you're a young lady.
I'm not that young. I am 47 years old. I'm not that young.
Well, you're a young lady compared to me. You're a youngster.
I'm a youngster. I'll take
you
that.
You may not remember this movie, but it was a movie that Dustin Hoffman was in, right?
Uh huh.
And he was captured by these Indians, right? This was a long time ago. This movie must came out in the 60s. He was called Little Big Man or something like that.
Oh, I think I heard about that though.
But in the movie, he was initiated into the Native American culture, into their spiritual culture, right? And so what they did was that they put slits in his chest, and they put these like buffalo teeth or buffalo bones or something, and they strung them up from the ceiling. They stuck them around in circles, right?
Mm.
So basically, they created intense pain, which in turn made his mind go into a deep subconscious psychological state that allowed him to experience the other side. So pain was used in many cultures. Pain is used, and pain is associated with fear and stress to induce a spiritual experience. You know. That allows you to commune with the ancestors and with the spirit.
Right, right.
And so I'm agreeing with you that there is similarities and connections between,
mm-hmm.
you know, fear and joy or fear and awe. You know that they are connected. Yeah.
Well, one thing I will definitely say is that the brain can't feel pain. That's been proven.
Yeah, but the brain is simply a processor of information.
Right. Yeah.
But the information is being fed to it. That's what I was saying about the heart. The heart is feeding it information.
Mm-hmm.
So what the function of the brain is to tell. You know, so the brain is going to send a message to tell your adrenal glands to send out adrenaline.
Yes.
But if you change your perception of the event that is in turn eventually leading your brain to send a message to your adrenal glands to create adrenaline, then, you know, you're not going to have that take place.
Right.
But it was a thought I wanted to get out too. Some people you know, we sort of touched on this before, we didn't get into it, but some people like to create fear within themselves because they get that adrenaline rush. The same adrenaline rush that the person who likes to bungee jump or likes to go on a roller coaster.
That's right. Yes.
But they like creating that fear by creating chaos around them. Or they like, you know, they like to be afraid, you know, because it's like, you know, you talk to people like, I was, you know, she may be listening to that. I was talking to somebody today, and it's like every time I told her something, she just went into this, how she's afraid of everything, you know, and I'm like, okay, every time I tell you something that's logical or rational, you just go off into, but I'm afraid, and I'm, you know, it's always, that's always the bottom line, is that I'm afraid.
It's like
addicted, they are addicted to that fear, that they're addicted to the chemicals that the body creates, brain creates, in response to fear.
Yeah, some people are addicted to it. You're right, yeah. And they will do things, like you said, to mimic it, and it can hold them back. It definitely can hold them back in their life. Let's talk about some of your practices when it comes to some of the things that people can do. I know one of the things that we talked about, and you guys are in for a very special treat, because our brother Yasir, is going to take you on a guided meditation and really just help you to clear some of that energy that's out. And then we're going to go into some other practices about what you really kind of help do in your practice, yoga skills, when it comes to dealing with all of those things, fears, and even if you just don't have any fears, but just managing everyday stress and anxiety and things that this world comes with being in this physical human body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the one thing about kinetic yoga, like I had this one guy tell me that, you know, he don't understand kinetic yoga because it looks like what people was doing on this video that Michael Jackson made.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, he was, what was that, when he was in Egypt or something? Do you remember the day or something like that?
Yeah, I remember the time. Yeah.
I remember the time. Yeah, I was very, I took offense to the way that he said it. You know.
Yeah.
Even though another person pointed out that the person who made the video choreographed it had done a lot of extensive studying in Egypt to come up with those moves and stuff.
Yeah. And that video is like it's like world famous. It is definitely one of the world famous videos. And so the only way that those moves could have got in the video is if they really existed.
So he was saying it to be derisive, but another person with the same information took it to be a compliment. You know, so
yeah.
So everything is a matter of perception. But what I was saying by that was that the movements and postures that we do are actually designed to eliminate the fear and the anxiety that accumulate in the body, especially around the lower chakras and the heart, you know. So when we do like a twisting, we go into like some of our spinal twist movements, like the pose of Atsar or the pose of Nin. Those poses are designed to really go deep into the heart center to push that negative energy out and to pull positive energy in. So let's say we have one pose called the pose of Nin, and that particular pose stimulates one of the meridians that runs through the arm into the heart center, you know, into the heart. It's called the P meridian. In traditional Chinese medicine, they call it the P meridian. P standing for pericardium, which is the covering of around the heart. And so we have specific postures in that system, which I don't know if I could, you know, have people do the actual polls over the radio. But,
right.
Some of those movements and postures, if you could just imagine some of the things that you're seeing in the Badu Nature, you know, they are specifically designed to really go deep into the heart center.
Yes.
You know, and to eliminate that fear and that negative energy. You know, it's not fear as much. It's just the negative energy associated with the fear that's accumulating,
right,
you know, around the heart. You know.
So what about? Let me ask you about that. What about people who are teaching the wrong methods?
But they're not necessarily teaching the wrong methods. They're just teaching methods which are. You know, which may not be that effective. Now, some people are teaching wrong methods. Like I see a lot of people, I see some people who say that they're teaching kinetic yoga, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all they do is they look at the picture of a, you know, like an ancient kinetic picture, and then they just try to imitate what they see on the picture, but they don't know anything about breath. They don't know anything about geometric progression. They don't know anything about anatomy. They don't know anything about physiology. So they don't really know how to do that pose. See, when you see the pose, see, like in ancient Kemet, they didn't leave, you know, instructions about how to do this pose, right? Take your foot, stand like this, take your foot. That's why it had to be figured out. And that's an only way to learn that process is if you going through training, you know, if you studied, you went to classes with somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Right.
You know? So that's why you see a lot of people just doing stuff and it's not really meaning it, you know, to me, you know, it doesn't mean
right.
It's not effective. It's not activating the meridians. It's not activating the energy centers. It's just doing something, you know, it may make you feel good a little bit, but you're not really doing what you could be doing, you know.
Right.
And then sometimes people are doing things which are counterproductive to their own health and their own well-being in the name of doing yoga. So some things you can do can actually be damaging your body, you know, as opposed to your body, you know.
Right.
So a lot of, you know, so there's like tens of thousands of yoga-related injuries that people get, you know, because they're doing things which are not even yoga, really, because they're doing gymnastics, you know, or they're doing acrobatics, or they're doing contortion. That's not what yoga is.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So do you think this is coming from their personal fear or just devaluing the work?
It's just coming from the fact that yoga has been very controlled and commercialized, you know. You know, people believe, you know, it's the whole belief system that people are under. Like, I know people that, like, they want to go to India to learn real yoga, you know, because
yeah.
they think the real yoga is in India. So So people who do Ashtanga yoga, who are really into Ashtanga yoga, they want to go to Mysore, India, because they think that's the source of this.
Mm.
And it's an illusion. You know, just like if you saw that movie, Eat, Pray, and Love, everybody,
yeah.
You know, the main character went to India to find the guru.
When yeah.
He got there, it was just a picture of the guru, and everybody sitting around meditating to the picture and chanting. And the guru was in Manhattan up in the penthouse.
Yes,
you know,
killing.
Living life, you know, and, you know, making money off the people going to India to worship her picture.
And so
most of this yoga that people are doing now, which they think is the real yoga, is this stuff was brought over to the Americas in the 1960s, you know. And these different gurus and swamis, so-called gurus and swamis who brought it over here, they were taking advantage of the counterculture movement that was taking place, the hippies and all that stuff that was taking place in the 1960s.
Right.
So when the Beatles came out and the Beatles were adherents to Maharishi, you know, and they were talking about transcendental meditation, and they started talking about psychedelic this and psychedelic that. That's what fueled that whole movement. A lot of what they're doing, and a lot of what we call spirituality and truth and all that kind of stuff, it's just watered down. I just call it pamphlet, you know, like mush. You know, it's not real.
It's not real. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. So is fear motivating you to show people the proper way?
No, I'm motivated because, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is, you know, I feel like,
you know, I was just going to say, because of your fear of the wrong things being taught, you know, to really kind of show it in a positive light where, you know, that could be a motivating factor to say, hey, I really want to study. I really want to, you know, make sure that I'm doing this justice and making sure that is, you know, there.
I mean, I'm not really afraid of the wrong thing being taught, because it's not, you know, I can only do what I do.
Yes.
So I can't really make anybody, you know, I can only present what I have to present, and then people have to take it within themselves to how they want to evaluate it and deal with it. But people need to determine. I mean, this is what I've done. I determine what am I here. You know, the purpose that I came here for.
Yes.
So this is my purpose. So that's what I do. So if people listen, that's fine. If they don't listen, that's fine too. You know, but I don't have a fear about it either way.
Right. Well, not from them, but from your own self, your own personal work to do it justice.
Yeah. Well, to do it myself. You know, I've always been the type of person who wants to go to the root, who wants to go to the core.
Yeah.
So when I studied history, I wasn't just content to study from 16, you know, 13, you know, and that's the only history I want to study about the experience of black people. When I started looking at Africa, I wasn't content just to look at West Africa and so on and so forth.
Right.
I wanted to look at beyond that. I wanted to go as far back as I can, you know.
Yes, of course.
I always want to go to the roots. So when I even want to think about yoga, I don't want to think about yoga from India.
Right.
I mean, not to say that I don't have respect for, you know, many aspects of that yoga.
Right.
Just
want to get to the root. Just want to get down to the root of it. Beautiful. Well, I think it's a great time for us to segue into the meditation that you're going to do for people and take them through a guided meditation. We can do that. Welcome to the remix, everyone. I know you guys are having great discussion going on in the chat room and the rest of you out in the cosmos. I see all of your discussion going on. We have our brother Yasir Rahotep, who is here with us live tonight in the remix. And if you have not got a chance to check out all of the amazing work that our brother is doing, have done, and will do, get yourself over to www.yogaskills.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter. It is an awesome newsletter, I will tell you, filled with lots of information, lots of things to find out. You want to get yourself interested in more of Kemetic Yoga and really kind of learn from a master that this is his life work, the work that he came to the planet, a big part of it, to do, and doing in an amazing way of really, really just helping us make sense of all of these things, especially making sense of your fears. And so you definitely want to check that out. You can also hit them up on Facebook as well, too, So we're going to go into a guided meditation. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Yasir as he takes you guys through the meditation and let you know what this is about. All right?
Okay. So I'm going to do this from long distance, which is fine. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have everybody sit with your, either, I don't know how you're sitting, but if you're sitting in a chair, try to sit up with your back straight as you can, with your feet flat on the floor. Or even better, if you can sit on the floor with your back up against the couch or something solid, the wall, and cross your legs, that make it even better. But either way, I need you to sit up straight with your back straight, and I need you to let your eyes close. So when you close your eyes, what you want to feel is that your facial muscles are going to relax. You want your eyeballs to become still behind your eyelids, and you want your eyelids to become still. You want to put your mind into your facial muscles and let your forehead muscles relax. You want to move your mind down into your jaws and your cheeks and let your jaw muscles and your cheek muscles relax. You're going to move your mind down into your shoulders. And you're going to take a slow, deep inhalation through your nose and then a slow exhalation either through your nose or through your mouth, and you're going to feel your shoulders release. So you're going to put your mind into your shoulders, into the back of your neck, and become aware, because that's where we hold a lot of our fear. That's where we hold a lot of the residual energy from fear and from anxiety in the shoulders, in the neck. So become aware if you're holding it there, and then try to let it go, release it as you breathe in. And then as you exhale, and on the exhalation, you're going to release. And as you release the shoulders, feel the entire weight of your body sink deeper into the floor, sink deeper into the earth. Feel yourself become more rooted into the earth. You're going to put your mind into your left shoulder, and you're going to relax your left arm from the shoulder down to the elbow. And again, I want you to take a slow, deep inhalation, and then as you slowly exhale, feel that left arm from the shoulder down to the elbow relax. Then you're going to relax from the elbow down to your wrist, and from your wrist down into your hands, into your fingers. And then we're going to keep the same thing on the right side, that your right shoulder, from the shoulder down to the elbow, relax. Relax your right arm from the elbow down to the wrist. You're going to feel your hands relax, feel your fingers relax. And as you relax your hand, as you relax your fingers, you're going to feel a tingle of energy in the palms and in your fingertips as you relieve any pressure off of the energy channels. And it allows the energy to flow through the arms, into the hands, down into the fingers. And then you're going to place your mind into your back, into your spinal column, and you're going to feel your back muscles relax. You're going to feel the weight of your body sink deeper down into the earth, feeling yourself becoming more rooted than you were before. You're going to feel your thigh, you're going to feel your thigh muscles relax. As your thigh muscles relax, you should be able to feel the energy flowing, the blood circulation and the life force flowing through your legs, down past your knees into your lower legs. As you relax your legs from your knees down to your ankles, relax your feet, relax your toes, and actually feel the energy in the feet and in the toes. Now, I want you to take your right hand, and I want you to place it very lightly over your stomach, right below your navel. And I want you to breathe in very light, very slowly through your nostrils and feel your stomach expand right where your hand is resting. And then you're going to exhale, and you're going to send, let your stomach cook. Let your stomach go in, and you're going to feel any tension leave out of your stomach area. Now take the right hand and move it about an inch off of your stomach so you're not really touching your stomach. And what I want you to do is to keep your hand resting there but not touching your skin at all. And I want you to feel the energy between your hand and the skin or the surface of your stomach area, you should feel an energy, a little vibrational frequency in the hand. And I want you to breathe in. And when you exhale, I want you to send that energy through your hand and let it go into your stomach. So we're going to energize that lower chakra. And then I want you to move your hand up between your navel and your chest. And I want you to, again, try to feel if you can feel, see if you can feel the energy between your right hand and the surface of your skin without touching your body at all. You should feel a warm energy. You should feel like a vibration or a tingling in between the palm, in between your skin. And I want you to breathe in. And as you exhale, I want you to send that energy into that area right between your navel and the lower part of your chest. Then I want you to move your hand up a little bit higher so that your hand is right in front of your chest. And again, I want you to feel a connection and feel an energy connecting your palm to the surface of your chest. I want you to feel your heart center being energized. And I want you to maintain your hands in that position. And I want you to slowly breathe in through your nose. And then I want you to slowly exhale out through your nose. And as you exhale, use your mind and visualize energy moving through your hands and going into that heart center. And you're going to feel the energy around your heart getting stronger. You're going to feel that energy around your heart getting more intense. And I want you to keep your hands there. I want you to breathe in very slowly through your nose. And then slowly exhale. Again, sending energy in through the hands. And then go into the heart center. And again, when you breathe in, visualize the energy moving in through your nostrils and accumulating in the center of your body. And then as you exhale, use your mind to project the energy through your arms into your hands again and let it go into that heart center. Now take your hand and turn the back of your palm to your heart. You're going to breathe in, and as you exhale, I want you to push the hand away from the chest. And I want you to sort of clear the energy. So now you're using both hands. So both hands are in front of your chest with the back of the hand facing the chest. You breathe in, and as you exhale, sort of push the energy out, away from the heart. Then move your right palm in front of your throat. And again, put your hand right in front of your throat area, right in front of the throat chakra. You're breathing in. And as you exhale, I want you to send that energy from your hands into the heart. I mean, not into the heart, but into the throat area. So you're stimulating the chakra in the throat as well as the thyroid gland. And then move your hand up until your right hand is facing right in front of your third eye, right between your, in the middle of your forehead, between the eyebrows. And you should feel the warm energy. You should feel the tingling energy from the palm going into that area at the third eye, at the Ajna chakra, the Heru chakra, in the middle of your forehead. I want you to breathe in, and I want you to pull energy from the 3 inches below your navel and let it come up through the front part of your body, all the way up to the third eye. And as you exhale, project that energy from the eye, from the third eye, into the palm of your hand. And then move the palms above the top of the head with the right palm facing down over the crown of your head. And you're breathing in. On your exhalation, send the energy from the hand down into the top of the head. You're going to feel your head, the top of your head, becoming warmer. You're going to feel this little circle in the top of the head opening up. So the energy is spiraling upward from the crown of the head up towards your hand. Now put your left, make sure your left hand is on the back of your right hand, and I want you to turn your palms upward. So you hope your palms are facing up, and when you breathe in, I want you to push your palms up. And as you exhale, separate your hands out to the side, like you're creating a circle around your body. And then bring your hands back down, let them rest upon your legs or upon your knees. And I want you to just sit and breathe and try to experience the changes, try to experience the transitions that have taken place within your body. Try to become aware of the changes in your energy field that you can perceive. Everybody's going to be different. For some people, this may be very intense. For other people, it may be more subtle. Then slowly breathe in through your nose. And then we're going to make a slow exhalation through the mouth. Okay. And you can let your eyes open up, back up again. And now we're finished. So now we can come back. Still there, Miss Blue?
I certainly am. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. I see everyone slowly coming back, really
yeah.
being able to feel that. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that was beautiful. Original Titan says, that was awesome. And
yeah.
Charlotte said, wow. And New Birth said, that was pretty cool. A lot of wows. It's beautiful. LaBlue said, that felt really, really good. Some of the comments coming in from the chat room, they just really loved it. Beautiful to be able to connect with your energy and just do it. That was amazing. Guided meditation there just to really clear the energy and connect with the energy there. I think this is a great time. We have about 54 minutes left to go in the form to open up the phone line. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. So get yourself on the phone lines. If you're calling international, you definitely want to make sure that you Skype in. You can do that as well. Or you can dial the U.S. country code and then 646-652-2711. Still reading the comments in the chat room there. Everyone is really loving it. Cosmic Lady said, beautiful. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines if you have a question for our brother Yasir Hotep, and we'll begin to get into some of those questions. Beautiful, beautiful. Here's what I would like for you to do. I know that you're going to be doing some traveling, and you're going to be teaching classes. For those that want to find out more about Kemetic Yoga and really kind of get themselves acclimated with this method that you have developed that has been birthed through you, tell us about how we can find out about what you have going on, where you're going to be, and how people can be a part.
Okay, well, what I'm going to say next is going to be like a big treat to people, I hope. because I know I have some people, maybe some of them are on the chat room or listening online.
Yes.
Who are going to be attending the Yoga Skills Healing Sun and the Kinetic Yoga Retreat in Jamaica, which is coming up August 14th to the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And during that same time period, Wayne Chandler would be doing his retreat in Jamaica also.
Oh,
his retreat starts on the 14th. I mean, on the 16th of August. And so we're going to be combining forces a little bit. So the people who come to his retreat, I'm going to help them come up to the resort where I'll be doing it. And, you know, we're going to, you know, do yoga together so that experience Kinetic Yoga. And my people can experience some of the Qigong and Nigong
yes.
and other internal practices that he does, you know.
Right.
So you know, that'll be a big
yes.
for people, you know.
Beautiful.
And then coming up in January, January 30th until February 8th, I think, I will be back in Jamaica again. So I know this one is coming up pretty soon, but the next one is going to be January 30th to February 8th, 2014. And that will be the next Healing Sun Kinetic Yoga Retreat.
Mm.
And that's going to be at our new facility in Millbrook Resort in Montego Bay, which is like
beautiful.
A fabulous place.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go to the website, you can see pictures of it. And
yes, it's beautiful, you guys. I've seen it.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful. You have to see it.
Yeah. And then Wayne's retreat would be at East of Eden, which is also a very beautiful place.
Yes.
Too. So you,
yes.
You can't go wrong. Either way. Yeah. For people in Chicago or people who want to come to Chicago, I'll be doing a series of Kinetic Yoga teaching, training, and certification course starting in November. And so basically for each month, for one weekend a month, we'll have a master class. I think it starts like November 8th or 9th, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look at my website to even know what days they are. You know, we have those coming up. So, you can always just go to yogaskills.com and check them out.
My
is working on the website now. We have a new slideshow up now.
Yeah, I see it. Beautiful. Yeah, and also just for the Remix family, so you guys know that Brother Yasir is also going to be teaching classes in self-invested as well, too. So that's going to be another treat, too. So you can look for him as one of those master teachers, along with Brother Wayne Chandler and a host of other brothers and sisters who will also be participating in self-invested. So that's really, really cool, too. Go to the website. Check it out. If you guys are close by, you definitely want to be able to do this in person and definitely get a chance to meet Brother Yasir, to meet him up close and first personal and to see the amazing work that he has done, still doing, and will continue to do, and really teaching yoga from a very ancient perspective. And you get a chance to get it. From someone himself who is a master. So that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I'm ready to go to the phone lines. I'm sure they have questions for you. I see them all on the phone lines here. So you ready to take some calls?
I am ready.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines, you guys, and I'm going to kind of jump around here. So we're just gonna go to the phone lines. Calling in from area code 615. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, hello.
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Yes, greetings. Hello. Hello to you all both. How you all doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Who's
fantastic?
Yes, who's on the line?
Yes, hi. My name is JR. I'm actually calling in from Nashville.
Okay, JR.
And, I'm sorry, my phone is a little delayed, so if I have some late responses, I apologize, but my phone is delayed. I was just really calling in because I guess I want some advice of pretty much how to, like, handle myself, because I guess I have a little fear of going from day to day, of basically not knowing what to expect, not knowing what to expect from my job, not knowing what to expect of pretty much going forth in my work profession. And it's kind of hard for me because I really don't know how to handle each day. I'm aware of my responsibilities and what I need to do, but sometimes I guess I get a little hesitant of really what to do, really what my purpose, or really what's going on with me. So if you guys could kind of like enlighten me or kind of tell me what are some things that you guys would suggest of doing, I really would appreciate that.
Well, brother, we live in that's a good question.
Yeah.
Asked it. And you know what you're experiencing is very common. We live, I call it the age. Others have called it also the age of anxiety, the age of uncertainty. You know, so there's so much uncertainty taking place in our lives. You know, because of the way that our reality is being projected to us. You know, through the media and through the different organs and vehicles that create our ideas within us, you know. So this uncertainty that you experience is partly the plan to make you feel uncertain, to make you feel, you know, a certain amount of fear about your future, about what's going to happen and so on and so forth. And it's not unreasonable for you to feel that way, but to allow yourself to become functional within this system, you have to, number one, you have to get yourself grounded, okay? So the meditation, the internal practices that we talk about, when we, you know, like you may be hearing the terms internal practices. I talk about this, my brother Wayne Chandler, other people talk about internal practices. Internal practices mm-hmm. are things that you do which are going to allow you to stay centered and grounded within yourself, to give you the opportunity to control and to influence the events that take place even outside of your life, okay? So you can dictate what your success is going to be. You can dictate what the outcomes of your efforts are going to be by using projection, using your intention to create what the outcomes that you want to have. But the first thing that you have to do is create a calmness within yourself. To create that calmness, you have to do the internal practices. So you have to do the relaxation, the breathing exercises, the meditation. Then you have to do other exercises that help you to create energy and circulate that energy. And then you use that energy that you create, that you generate within yourself, to send your intention out into the universe. So you have to see yourself. You have to determine, first of all, for yourself, where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 20 years? Where do you want to be in 6 months? Where do you want to be in a year? And you have to create that image in your consciousness, and then without fear, project that and believe that that's what you're going to achieve. So, but the foundation of doing that is, what type of internal practices are you going to do? And you don't have to do nothing really elaborate, really deep, but learning some basic skills. That's what I call yoga skills. Okay, so you learn these basic techniques: relaxation, concentration, and focus. Healing yourself. You have to dial back the anxiety, dial back the fear. That's what the practice is going to do. That's what the meditation, the deep breathing, like the exercises that we just did, is going to make you feel better. And once you start to feel better, then that's taking the fear away, and it's taking away the uncertainty. But the other piece of it too is that you have to become organized and create a plan. See, people talk about the law of attraction and the secret and all that kind of stuff, but it's not magic. you have to create a plan too. You have to have achievable goals, okay, that are rooted in some form of reality, you know, that you can create your plan, create a 6-month plan, a year plan, create ways of visualizing your plan, create ways of visualizing the steps that you're going to take. You know, so like I said, you may have a 6-part plan. So part one, I got to do this first. Part two, I got to do this second. Part three, so on and so forth. Those are your 6 steps, or 6 or 7, however many steps it is, for you to get to your goal. So you have to have that type of plan set up. And part of your plan may be that you need to have more resources. The more resources that I have at my disposal, the less anxiety and fear I'm going to feel. So when I have some income, and when I keep some of that income and I save it, I have less anxiety, right? Because I know that if something bad happens, I have something I can fall back on. So creating wealth has to be part of our plan. And we often block ourselves from creating wealth because it may be things we don't want to do. Like oftentimes I hear younger people, they say, "But I don't want to go to school because they're just trying to teach me this and teach me that." You don't go to school just to be taught.
Right.
You go to school to get the credential that comes along with that piece of paper that will then allow you to have access to other resources, to have credentials that allow people to recognize you so that then you can get other stuff, you know. So if you're not a, you know, so that's the purpose. And, of course, you know, you want to get knowledge, you want to get information, you want to be educated. But education comes from the outcome, from inside out. You know, that's the whole process. So, I don't know nothing about your educational background, but I'm just saying, going to school in some form, gaining the knowledge, whether it's just taking classes, you know, that you have to take in order to increase your credentials. Because I teach college, I teach at DePaul University, and so many of the students that I teach maybe turn back to school because of the fact that they have been out in the work world, and now they've been laid off, or they at jeopardy of being laid off. And so then, therefore, they're coming back to school so that they can enhance their higher ability to be hired for jobs, or they're coming back to school to learn information that's going to allow them to start their own business. You know, when I teach people to become yoga instructors, it's with the intention that they can start their own business and either make money as a full-time instructor, not just in yoga, but as an entrepreneur, a yoga entrepreneur, where you can do stress management, you can go work for companies, you can do your own individual, you can do whatever you want to do once you are armed with the knowledge. I'm just giving that as an example. So my message is that the more that you do internal practices, it'll help you to determine what you are really here for to do. That's what comes from meditation. Your insight into your true nature and your true purpose of why you're here is going to come through your meditation. Then once you're armed with that truth, nothing else can scare you, nothing else can bother you, nothing else can make you feel uncertain, because all you're going to do is project all of your time and energy into pursuing what it is that you came here to do. And again, you just need to be armed with resources and credentials or whatever it is that's going to allow you to achieve your goal. That's my general, my general answer to the things that you asked. Do you have any follow up questions to that?
Oh no, that actually makes sense. It's funny you should say that, because I actually had planned on starting school back later this month. And, you know, I was, you know, going back and forth with myself of really,
beautiful,
you know, what was I going to do? And is that something that I should do? But, you know, now I just got confirmation that I need to take that a little bit more seriously, because, to be honest with you, that wasn't something that was really on my mind as a forefront of actually doing. It was just like, hey, I'll take a couple classes and I'll see where it goes. But now that I have that there, I'm a little bit more confident to actually take it a little bit more serious.
Beautiful.
To actually, pursue that. So, yeah, I do appreciate that. I'm glad I called tonight.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, let me ask you, how long have you been living in fear? You said you've been living in fear for quite a while.
Well, I guess it's kind of one of those things, how should I say this? I don't want past experiences to affect me now, but sometimes, you know, I guess, through different decisions, you find yourself about to come back into that same thing that you thought you learned from. So I guess what it is, I'm guessing in fear that I don't repeat the same thing, and I can just send the positive messages to the universe that, hey, I'm getting it, I understand, I failed, I made a mistake, all I can do is mature. And so that's,
right.
I guess that's the thing about it is like, you know, I want to stop feeling that. I want to just go on with my life, be free, and understand, hey, this is what you have to do. The universe is on your side. And I guess I can get over that. And it's been really bonding me, to be honest.
So what are you, what were you scared of then? What were you scared of?
Oh, wow. I don't want to repeat the same path. I don't want to be put in a position to where I don't have any money. I don't want to be put in a position to where I lose my job. I don't want to be put in a position to where I'm not able to help the people that I love. And, you know, I don't want to be put in a place again.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Let me ask you this, because I see you in this very interesting position here. You do yoga, don't you?
Yes, I do stretch. I have my moments where I stretch. I'm a dancer, so yes, I do. I wouldn't necessarily say I know all like the yoga terms or whatnot, but yes, I do.
Yeah, because I've seen you doing that. So some of these principles you've already began to adapt for yourself, which is really great, because these are some of the principles Brother Yasir was just speaking about.
When
it comes to understanding what you're doing, and you're doing them. You're doing them.
But he said he does. He said he does yoga, but he said he does stretch. See, yoga is going to be way beyond the stretching part. You know, even when you say stretch, see, that's how most people are taking yoga, because that's how yoga is being presented as being okay. I'm doing yoga to stretch my muscles. You know, as opposed, I'm doing yoga as an internal practice for transformation, to transform myself from where I am now into a state of higher consciousness. So most of the time, when people are doing yoga, they're using the word yoga, but it's really not the complete aspect of yoga. So, so what he needs to do is understand how to use the breath. He needs to understand how to do the meditation. He needs to understand how to use the mind control, how to get control over the emotions, and then how to project consciousness. How do you project consciousness? How do you project your intention?
Right.
Once you strengthen your internal core through learning the posture movements, the postures, the breathing, the meditations, then when you sit down, you meditate, and then you project your imagery of what it is that you want to see happen for yourself that determines your success. It's going to become much more powerful.
I was going to say, that's beautiful. Would you say yoga is the only way to do it?
Oh, no. Yoga is one form of internal practice.
Right.
So, tai chi gong. You can go through.
It's a lot. I just wanted to know from that perspective, because just the energy I'm picking up from this brother is that he's doing those things, and it could be right, like you said, he's just not doing them correctly, so he can't internalize them, because we know intention is really the key about when you start to set out to start working with these, is really to have that understanding what comes from in your heart. Because that's the place where all of these things go first. That has to be sort of cleared and pure. I want to thank you for calling in. It was a great question and a great way to start off the Q&A tonight. So peace and blessings to you. And definitely let us know how that goes for you.
Thank you so much for both of you answering the question. You all have a great night. Thank you so much. Peace and love.
Okay.
Peace and love. Peace and love. Yeah, beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 917. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello.
917? Yes, greetings.
It's
who's on the line?
It's Scottia from New York.
Okay, greetings, Scottia.
Oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Hold on one second. I can't believe it. You probably don't remember me. Give me a second.
Okay.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you. Brother Yassir, can you hear?
I can hear you fine.
Hi, brother.
What's your name again?
Katia from New York. Katia from New York.
Okay, Scottia.
Katia.
I do remember you. I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of changes and transition, and
yes,
I lost
yes.
my husband the last time you and I spoke.
Yes. Yes.
And you brought me
yes.
Goddess Parvati.
Yes.
Yes. And now is the aftermath.
Okay, I want to tell a little bit of this story, and it's so divine that you would call in. It's good to hear from you. I want to kind of take you guys really quick back, because this is amazing. I haven't heard from you in years. This sister contacted me a few years back. It's been how many? Two years ago. And when she did, she's such a strong, very powerful sister. She contacted me to pass a message on to Brother Bobby Hemed and Dr. Phil Valentine initially. And then me and her started to talk about her husband, who at the time was in the hospital, and he was, you know, critically ill at the time. And I did a reading for her. And I want to tell you, that's one of the hardest readings I've ever had to do in my life. When we spoke, because I was faced with what I knew, what I had seen, and a way that I could communicate that to you based on where you were with it, with love. And we talked, and I shared it with her, and she really accepted it. And then she called me back once her husband made his transition, because I was able to see him in his very vibrant state, sitting on the steps. You remember that? Because I see him now smiling, rubbing his hands on his knees and his head, and talking about your son and about you. And I told her that he was really in a cycle of new beginnings for himself, and she was in a cycle of change. And what she could do to really just tell him how she loved him and supported him on whatever choice he decided to make. And shortly thereafter, he did make his decision and made his transition. So I've been waiting for you, because I know you said you would call in one day to tell that story. And it really was really one of the first that I had to just, you know, really kind of give what Spirit gave to me without my own personal judgments. And it's interesting, because we've been talking about fear, and it was a fear, like, what if I really see something, and how can I communicate that? But I did. I was able to do it. So I thank you for that as well, and your strength, because that gave me the strength to communicate it. Beautiful.
Wow.
So, yes, how are you? How have you been doing? Beautiful.
I mean, you know, every day it's different, because I was with this person for almost 17 years, and we lived through each other.
Yes.
So.
And still do.
So it's like being this new person and just trying to live. So it's been, it's been hard. Comes and goes. And I'm just going through a lot of changes right now in my life, and even physically, I stopped working out, and I'm getting back to it. I'm kind of back and forth with that. I'm having circulation problems with my legs, and just fear of loneliness at times.
Beautiful for you to call in and be this reflection.
I want Brother Yasir to talk to you first and talk to you so he can share. And I know that's why you called in, because you heard all of this amazing information he's been sharing with us tonight about our fears. Yeah.
Well, Sister Katia, you know, you're going through a process of grief, you know, which is normal for you to go through. Everybody who loses somebody that they're really close to, or even sometimes you don't even know that you was really, you know, how the loss of somebody is going to affect you. But grief is a process, you know, so it has a beginning, it has a middle, and then it has a culmination. Not that you're going to forget about the person, but you just come into a stage of acceptance and becoming content. And oftentimes, you know, when you're going through that grieving process, you may, you know, lose track of things that you need to do to take care of yourself. You know, to exercise, eat right, and you know, and do the things that you need to do. It's very important that you, you know, start to do the things that make you feel good. Things, you know, like getting outside, being in the fresh air, being in the sunshine. You know, being in the, you know, in nature, if there's like a park or something near where you are, you know, just being in that environment, you know, so that your senses can just take in, you know, something positive that's going to help you to, you know, to change your mood, to heighten, you know, to heighten you. Also, it's important that you take, you know, that you eat, you know, a lot of your fresh fruits, a lot of your vegetables and things like that, fresh, raw type of things. And if you need to, you know, get some B vitamins, you know, you need some nutrients, like something like B complex, vitamin B12, all of those things. Because when, you know, when you're under that type of pressure, you know, when you're under that type of you know, those feelings. Part of the reason why you feel bad and maybe feel to the, you know, it's normal that you're going to feel down to a degree, but when you start to feel really bad, it's because part of the reason is because your body is not getting the nutrients, because when you don't eat the way you need to eat, then you're not getting certain nutrients that you need. And B-complex and vitamin B12 especially is important to making your mood feel elevated, you know. So when you don't have those nutrients in your body, you may feel like you feel depressed, and you may feel like you feel depressed because of the situation, but really it could partly be because you just don't have the nutrients that your brain needs to make you feel more up. And so having those things that be complex is part of your coping strategy. So the more you feel depressed, the more you feel down, the more you have to really, like, get to the juicer, make your fresh carrot, beet, celery, spinach-type juices, you know, to get those nutrients into your body, you know, and to get you a really good raw, whole food form of vitamin supplement, not the synthetic vitamins, but a good one that's made, that's raw and that's made from whole food, as opposed to being just made from chemicals and stuff, you know. So those are the first things I'm going to say, you know, just in terms of, and that's to anybody, because everybody feels,
yes.
You know, up and down or down at different points in time, and you may attribute it to, you know, the situation that you're in, but it really, because maybe, you know, if you just had some extra nutrients, you could elevate your mood. And that's a whole other piece we haven't even talked about, is the nutrition part, in terms of how, why do you,
yes,
you feel, you know. And also, you know, honoring, you know, I don't know what your spiritual orientation is or anything like that, but for me, like, I have a, you know, number one, I believe that my any of my people that I cared about who has passed away, they're still alive. Their spirit is still here.
Right.
You can communicate with them. So
I do.
I have an altar.
Yeah.
I have an altar. Like my sister, you know, I have an older sister that passed away. I have her picture on my altar. My father, my grandfather, my great grandfather.
Yes, yes.
You know, my cousin. You know, my cousin whose birthday was, I think, yesterday, who passed away. You know, he's about my age, so he's not an old person. He passed away for some other reasons. But, you know, putting a picture on the altar, putting a candle, putting some water, a piece of fruit, all of this is honoring, communicating with them. And your loved one, you know, doesn't want you to grieve. You know, because you're grieving, you know, you want to go through the process of grieving, but then you have to let it go, because it sort of holds back. It's sort of like an encumbrance to that person's spirit, to let them do what they need to do. So I give you an example, like my aunt, who her husband died when she was just in her 40s. He was in his 40s when he passed. And she was grieving so hard that she kept having, she had these dreams. And in the dreams, her husband, my Uncle George, he was like hanging upside down. And he was saying, "Doris, let me go, let me go." This is how she described the dream. And so she interpreted the dream to mean that she was grieving so much and wishing he was still there, that she was holding him back, you know. And so everything is for a purpose. You know, he was here for the purpose that he was here for, and then he had to make his transition to go on to do what else he's going to do. So it's only a transition.
You know,
it's not an end. And so once you start to think in those ways and really, you know, not to say that you don't know all these things already, which I'm sure you do, but once you start to accept them in these ways and acclimate yourself to the idea that this is the reality, it's not just a theory, that it's a reality, and that you have to be, you know, you have to sort of, you know, move in that manner, then you can bring it into a more of a positive mode, you know. So you can still communicate, you can still, you know, be connected to the spirit.
Yeah.
And your loved one is going to be able to empower you even from the spirit world, you know, even because when you go into the spirit world, you can manipulate and do things that's non-physical, right? You can make things, change things on the physical plane, you know, just because you're able to access energies and powers that's beyond our ability to do under normal circumstances.
Yeah, so true. So true.
Can I say something?
Certainly.
It's like my transition in the spiritual world has been crazy since I met Ms. Blue. I think since I was little, there was things that I didn't understand that I was able to kind of like see. Not necessarily see, but I'm more of a feeler. I'm reaching levels where it's just like all over me. And sometimes, I don't know if this is the forum, but it becomes sexual, and that's something I guess I can talk to Ms. Blue about. It.
No. I don't know what that is. Yeah, well, you can definitely talk to both of us, and we certainly understand it.
So I don't know what that is,
Brother, your fear understands it as well, too.
You have an energetic connection.
Yes.
You know,
I'm just afraid that it's something that's not him. I'm really afraid of that. Like, what is that?
No. Well, here's the thing. You have a divine connection, and we talked about this even through your husband was a very, very consciously aware brother who had been doing his works and studies and actually brought you into his work.
He brought me in.
Yes, so
very much so aware, and a lot of things he's telling me he's already prepared you for when he would not be here. And so those things are very real. You know, I would say that the sleeping world, the dream world, is the real world, and this is the illusion. You know, even though we know that we made an agreement to come here and function in this world, very spiritually enlightened sister and your psychic abilities have come online as a part of this transition. It's okay, you know, to feel sad. It's okay to go through that. Even on in some of the hieroglyphs of our ancestors coming out of Egypt, you will see the mourning processions happen. So that's a very natural part for you to mourn and feel sad and even sometimes to miss that, as long as you don't stay in that place, as Brother Yusir was saying, as long as you don't make that sort of the hold on you. Now, I want to talk to you about your legs and the circulation and what that means, because we know everything has an occult meaning and it also has a physical meaning. And this is something that you have physically brought into manifestation into this reality. And it's about fears of the future. It's about moving forward. And so this is what's going on with your legs. Now, there are other things that really will impact that as far as your food and your diet and start to exercise and to do things. All of those are great. But getting down to the root cause of it is about your fear of the future. And so these are the things to begin to address. Here's something that you can begin to work with, because you do need to kind of bring these thoughts in. And you're going to have up days and down days, and that's so true for everybody. You understand,
right?
Whether we are in your situation or not, you're going to have that. And it really is about putting yourself in the best position so that you can nurture yourself the way that you need to be nurtured. A big part of you feels kind of guilty if you are to go out and try to continue to live your life. But you do know that this was an agreement that was made many, many lives ago between the two of you. And so he will always be there with you. There is a book, and I'm going to tell you the name if I can remember. I think it's called Conversations with Margaret. Email me, because that may not be the correct name, but I read it a while ago. And what the story is about a man who lost his wife. And he talks about his grieving process of what he went through, and then how Margaret started to channel things to him. And as she begins to channel things to him, he begins to go on his own spiritual journey and really have that comfort of having a new wife, a new relationship, and still being able to keep that divine connection, because truly we know nothing truly dies. And so the truth is, your husband is not dead. He's not here in the physical, but he is still with you in the spiritual realm. And that world is even closer than it's ever been before.
I know.
And so, yes,
it's so
you'll,
powerful.
You'll have that longing.
Oh, my God.
You'll have that yearning and that longing. That's all natural. But you have absolutely nothing to fear. You're a very spiritually powerful sister, and I know that we can learn lessons from you. And just in this journey and many other people. So I want to thank you so much for calling in. I do want to give you something to begin to work with, and you can kind of add your own twist to this. But I want you to begin to know that you can say, life is for me. Everything is working in my favor. And, you know, really kind of put your own little twist on that. I would say it right when you wake up in the morning and right before you go to bed. Those are some perfect times. Say them in sets of three out loud to really help to embed that into your subconscious mind, because that's really,
thank
really going to help you, yes, to kind of get that energy inside of you. And I would encourage you to check out Siva Yusir and all of his work as well. He has some excellent DVDs on there to get into yoga. And to get into kinetic yoga, so you can really begin to bring the mind, the body, and the spirit into one, and to get into that place of awe, as I call it, when you become one with the divine you know, your higher self. It's a beautiful experience. To begin to work with that, as I call a magical statement, and to begin to pull that energy in so that you can open yourself up to knowing that everything is working in your favor, because you're not free-falling here. So the life the thoughts that you say today and the words that you speak today are creating your tomorrow. And so you have the ability to create the tomorrow that you want. You don't have to have a fear of the future because it is the divine manifestation of you, and to get into those practices. So, yeah, thank you so
much.
It was so
Blue.
Good hearing from you. How is your son? How is he doing?
Zaire.
Yes,
great.
Zaire. How is he? Beautiful.
He's a strong cookie, you know. He's tough, though.
Yeah. Well, look at his daddy.
Oh, my God.
And his mama. Look at his daddy and his
mama. He's so handsome. Watch out, ladies. Miss Blue, one last thing, and I know that other people want to get in. It's amazing because I pulled up my deck and it was you today.
Aw,
like my go-to card. And then, of course, communication keeps popping up the throat chakra. But one last thing, I'm kind of dealing with this particular person in my life, and I'm having a hard time letting go. And I think that I think that's why I'm having circulation problems. It's been a journey with him. He comes and goes, and he's not ready. And I'm trying to hold on.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, and you know me, I'm not going to hold no punches. Really, it's time to get a new story. It is.
That's my second card today.
yeah. Well, there you go. Get a new story. Mm-hmm. You see how magical the Kim deck is. Get a new story, and I'm going to tell you why.
Thank you.
Need to take some time to really just kind of give yourself space to love, space to move forward, space to work through. You need to give that time to yourself. You've been giving it to everyone else and really nurturing the family, your son, through this whole process, this whole grieving process. And what you haven't done is really allowed yourself to come out of it the way that you need to. So it's time in this relationship, because what's happening here is that you want something out of this relationship that doesn't exist in this person. Does that make sense when I say that? They're just not at that maturity level. It doesn't mean they don't love you and they don't care about you. People love and care about you, yes. But as far as that sacred union that you're looking for, I really just don't feel energetically that this is it, that you need to get a new story. Because what it's doing is it's making you retreat and it's making you go back into the grieving process. And that's how you know that this is not a fear that you can grow from.
Okay.
Does that make sense? It's not.
I knew all these things.
From.
I think I needed you to say it.
You
know how
this
you
is
know
a fear
stuff.
That, yeah, mm-hmm. It's taking you back. So I say stay friends, and you know, hey, and people say men and women can't be friends, but I bear witness to that. Yes, we can. And so stay friends, keep it at a distance, work on yourself, and open yourself up to the possibility of loving yourself first. And getting that reflection back in the way that you see it within your heart, and not you just accepting whoever says they're willing to accept you. You know, you're not charity.
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right.
Thank you, Ms. Blue.
Well, thank you.
Good night, Mr. Espier.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good night. Peace and blessings. Wow.
Good night.
We have about 7 minutes left to go in the forum. Can you guys believe that? 7 minutes. So here's what we're going to do, Brother Yasir. I'm going to have you leave us with some closing words and just kind of give us some things to take with us as we continue on our journey, and you continue on yours as well, too, and just some things for people to think about as we continue.
Yeah, well, one of the last things that you said sort of peaked my mind, because you know, you talked about to Sister Katia, you mentioned you know, that maybe this person wasn't ready and wasn't really able to be the things that she wanted him to be, right? And you know, it just sort of made me think about relationships in general, about why our relationships are not really successful often, because, you know, we use fear. You know, we're operating off of fear. You know, we have a fear of being alone. We have a fear of not, you know, having someone care about us. You know, we have these various fears that make us enter into these various, you know, dysfunctional type of relationships. And if you're in a relationship based upon fear, then the relationship is not going to last anyway. So it's better not to even go into them until you have a strong foundation, your own strong emotional foundation. And number one, you know, once you establish that strong foundation, you're going to attract to you that person which you are supposed to be with anyway. When you have a weak foundation, which is what fear is, then you're only going to attract to yourself a weak, you know, relationship that's not going to last. It's not going to really be a relationship. It's just going to be a facade of a relationship, you know. And you're going to constantly be looking for something that's unachievable because you haven't done the work for yourself. So I don't even want to be in a relationship unless I feel strong and unless I'm attracting to me that person which I know I deserve and is somebody who is deserving of what I have to offer.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's part of what you maybe think about, you know, in your answer to her.
Yeah, it's so true. We do attract what we put out, and it's so true. It's so true. And you're right. You're going to get that reflection back and get it back in a powerful way. So it is, you know, I think that's one of the things sometimes, even when it comes to doing all of this work, you know, a lot of us started this journey about knowing thyself, but it seems like we're trying to know everything else but us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it definitely should be about, is to know thyself. You know, one of the greatest questions that our ancestors left for us is to know thyself. Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you. It's always an honor to have you come on the platform. We have so many different subjects that we can still cover and still be under Kemetic yoga, and just how our ancestors seen that and how you're able to interpret that for us through your work and through your practices and sharing that with brothers and sisters all over the world. It's a beautiful thing. And so know that you're always invited back to the Remix, and I thank you so much for coming on and sharing that with us this evening. And, looking forward to you coming into Self-Invested and also the new places in Jamaica. I know you guys will be telling us and telling us about it. Those of you who are getting on board with that trip or either the one that's going on in January. So don't forget to go over to www.yogaskills.com. And don't forget to go over there. Sign up for the newsletter. Take a look around. It's lots of goodies there. Brother Yasir does a whole lot, and it comes from so many different angles, so much that you can learn and you can share, and really getting into the practice from a very, very beautiful foundation. So I just want to thank you. It's always great to have you on.
Yes, well, thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure, and it's like a marathon of of spiritual and consciousness talk and reflection. And I like it because, you know, I have a lot of energy, and to really go more in depth than just talking about something for 30 minutes. And,
yes.
So, and I think the depth is what people need.
Yes.
We all need. And it's nice to be in the chat room and seeing some of the names of people I see on Facebook, like I see Sister Callie Ma.
Yes.
Only from Facebook, and you know, some of the other people here. So
yes.
So you know, I'm, yes. I'm
Yeah, so it's good. Yeah,
it is.
And I'm glad that you had me on.
Always a blessing. They are sending love and hearts. They said it was great information, a great share. We have Ascending Beings calling in. Hola, all the way from Hawaii. that's in the chat room with us hanging out tonight, as well as the international brothers and sisters from all over the world. Well, you guys, you know what to do. If you like the show, I want you to like it. And if you love it, I want you to love it. I want you to go over to Facebook and love it here. Leave a comment here. Leave a comment on iTunes. Leave a comment on Facebook. Leave a comment on Twitter and let us know. Peace and love to you guys out there. Enjoy the rest of your week. Amazing week coming up. We have the first self-invested class coming up, as well as the readings for other brothers and sisters. All kinds of things going on in the world. So get magical. Start living life with a purpose. Peace and love to you guys. Much love, warm spirit, and Ashe to the ancestors. Until next week, you guys, download. I'll see you guys on Facebook. Peace and love and much love out there, warm spirit. You guys have a beautiful, beautiful week, and I will see you guys on Friday night. Peace and love.
Peace and love.